Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
It's Tuesday, the 18th of February, coming up. A youth jail in Kent isn't safe enough, according to inspectors.
Operational chaos and incompetence are no excuse for failing to give children the basic things they need.
Why spit kits are being given to bus drivers in Kent.
Some of the assaults that employees have faced just recently have been really utterly unacceptable.
And how a barrier planned for the M20 has been tackling congestion down under for decades.
Safety is very important to us, and we've not had a head-on crash since the barrier was installed way back in 1990.
Kent Online News.
Well, our top story today is about a youth jail in Kent, which inspectors say is still not safe. They found high levels of violence, some serious, at Cookenwood in Rochester when they visited last September. A report into that visit has just been published. It also says the use of force by staff had increased since a previous inspection in 2018, and children being diverted there from Feltham meant it was running at near capacity. Rob Priest is from the Howard League for Penal Reform.
It's very troubling, and it's a sign of an escalation of pressure on Cookenwood Prison and the prison system more generally. And it isn't going to help us reduce crime and turn lives around. When a child is in trouble with the law, we should do all we can to guide them away from crime and give them a brighter future. But once again, that isn't happening in Cookenwood, as this report makes clear. Boys are spending days on end locked in their cells without fresh air and education. And operational chaos and incompetence are no excuse for failing to give children the basic things they need. The inspectors point to the fact that there were staff shortages and that there were more boys in Cookenwood than there often are because there have been some problems at another prison holding children, Feltham in West London. So some boys had been moved into Cookenwood. So you had more boys than normal and you also had staff shortages. But ultimately, the duty of care remains paramount, and operational chaos and incompetence and no excuse for failing to give children the basic things they need.
Is it more of a cultural shift, do you feel, that it's not going to be as simple as more staff needs to be recruited?
Well, I think we need to close prisons like Cookenwood. The solution to this problem is to keep children out of prison in the first place, so we don't have children being hurt and we can help children to realise their potential. What we're seeing are boys being moved from one failing prison in Feltham to another in Cookenwood. The expectation is that more staff might arrive from nearby Medway, Secure Training Centre. Medway was the subject of a horrendous Panorama investigation with allegations of abuse against children there. Children are being pushed from pillar to post in a system that isn't helping them and isn't helping us to keep people safe and to turn lives around. So we need to find the solution now, and it starts with keeping children out of prison and giving them the care and support they deserve before they end up in the system.
Cookenwood holds nearly 200 boys aged 15 to 18. Work's underway to recruit more staff.
Kent Online reports.
A 44-year-old van driver from Chatham has admitted causing the death of a 15-year-old girl in Sittingbourne. Georgia Mann died in October 2018 when the car she was a passenger in was hit on the A249 slip road after breaking down. A second man, who's 21 and from Gillingham, pleaded not guilty to causing death by dangerous driving. He'll go on trial at a later date. It's been revealed a baby boy died after his mum was turned away from a Kent hospital while in labour. She was told by staff at Margate's QEQM to go to the William Harvey in Ashford instead, but started to give birth at home. Baby Archie died shortly after being born last September. A full inquest is expected in the coming months. It says an inquiry takes place into maternity services at East Kent hospitals following a number of preventable deaths. There's been another significant increase in the number of people in Kent who are out of work. According to stats out today, 32,150 in the county were claiming jobless benefits in January. That's up 950 on the month before. It's also the 18th month in a row the numbers have gone up. Now, bus drivers in Kent are going to be given mini DNA testing kits to catch people who spit at them. Stagecoach Southeast is operating a zero-tolerance approach to all forms of abuse against its staff. A recent attack in Canterbury left a member of staff needing 9 stitches in his face. Joel Mitchell manages Stagecoach in Kent.
One of the things that has just been bothering me particularly is some of the verbal and physical assaults that the drivers can face when out on the road. But what's really important for me, and a responsibility I have and a duty of care that I have, is to our people, to our colleagues, the people that work here. There's about 1,300 or so colleagues that work at Stagecoach in the South East. We really want our drivers to be looking after our customers, and the customers at the heart is what this business is about for the next 5 years. But our job as a management team in supporting through the Zero Tolerance campaign is supporting our frontline colleagues who are looking after those customers to be able to do so. And it's our ask, therefore, that our customers look after our colleagues too. Some of the assaults that employees have faced just recently have been really utterly unacceptable. You'll see the uniform, but that's someone's mum, or that's someone's dad, or it's their friend, or it's their partner. And it's really important that we're all kind and supporting each other in driving bus into the forefront of everything we need to do in society.
Kent Online reports.
Detectives think 3 robberies in and around Ashford could well be linked. 3 men broke into a house in Frittenden earlier this month before threatening the owner and stealing his car. It's thought it could be connected to attempted robberies in Biddenden and Ruckinge the following week. Now, there are concerns a new drive-through at a McDonald's in Greenhithe could cause congestion and pollution. Plans to extend the fast food chain in London Road were submitted to Dartford Council earlier this month, but residents say they're worried about more rubbish in the streets and traffic. And Kent Online's been hearing how a concrete barrier, like the one that's going to be used on the M20, has been easing traffic congestion in New Zealand for 30 years. It's deployed on the Auckland Harbour Bridge, which is used by around 180,000 vehicles every day. Andrea Williamson is the Auckland System Manager from Waka Kotahi, the New Zealand transport system.
The movable lane barrier is used on the Auckland Harbour Bridge, which links the northern suburbs with the city across the Waitemata Harbour. The barrier consists of a 650-metre-long string of concrete units. There's a total of 8 lanes on the harbour bridge, and the movable barrier is located in the centre of the bridge. And this allows the bridge lanes to be changed depending on the time of day. Our barriers are moved 4 times a day, so that's every 24 hours they're moved for 4 times. So in the morning peak, we have 5 lanes coming into Auckland City, and we have 3 lanes heading north out of the city. In the middle of the day, so that's during the day, in the evening and the weekends, we've got 4 lanes in each direction. And in the evening peak, we've got 5 lanes exiting the city and 3 lanes coming into town. The barriers are moved in a single lane shift by barrier transfer machines, and it takes about 20 minutes to do a full shift. There are 2 machines based on each side of the bridge during the normal 4x4 lane configuration. And we've always got 1 machine available as a backup just in case of mechanical failure. Safety is very important to us, and we've not had a head-on crash since the barrier was installed way back in 1990. And given the additional capacity to the peak direction using the tidal flow arrangement, allows for more cars to get over the bridge, hence speeding up journey times. There is significant cost for purchase, operation and renewal of the barriers and the machines. They are all made and produced in the States, and that costs a lot of money to get them over to New Zealand. However, the safety and congestion benefits that come from protection for opposing traffic and improved traffic flow is way greater than the cost. The barrier machine is an integral part of managing the traffic across the Auckland Harbour Bridge. And without it, our customers would suffer considerable inconvenience and delays in their journeys. The barrier machines are now a daily part of driver journeys, and drivers are well used to seeing our barrier machine trundling over the bridge. Auckland Harbour Bridge carries approximately 180,000 vehicles per day. And without that tidal flow management, our customers would suffer significant delays.
Yesterday, we told you a similar system is going to be introduced in Kent at the end of the year. It's to deal with any traffic problems when there are delays crossing the channel.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham travel to struggling Southend tonight, looking to extend their unbeaten run to 14 games. The Jewels saw off Doncaster Rovers at a wet and windy Priestfield at the weekend. Assistant manager Paul Rayner says it's not going to be handed to them on a plate this evening.
They'll be fighting. They'll be fighting for their lives. You know, there's players there. They'll be fighting for their careers and for contracts next year, wherever it might be. So, you know, we're under no illusions that we're just going to turn up there and turn them over. You know, that would be great. But we're going to have to work very hard to make that happen.
Chillingham are currently 10th in the League One table, while Southend are down in the relegation places. Kickoffs at 7:45. And in cricket, Sam Billings has signed a contract extension at Kent. The captain has agreed to stay at the club for another 2 years until the end of the 2022 season. The 28-year-old wicketkeeper batsman made his debut in 2011 and has now played more than 200 matches for the county in all formats of the game. Well, that's it for now, but for more news throughout the day and, of course, overnight, you can head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.